Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 'Tis Easter morn, and this is the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from St. Louis today with a preaching entitled, If You Arrive in the Darkness.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. As a child, I loved Easter. There were jelly beans and chocolate bunnies and bright banners at church, which would be attended by me and my mom wearing flower corsages pinned on by my father. Not even sure they make those anymore. But the point is that Easter was a bright, sugary, joyous day. And I do mean day. I wasn't aware that it was a whole season and would have had no understanding as to why the church would have wanted to celebrate it longer than that. I mean, how much could there be to ponder about someone rising from the dead? So, I was very wrong about that. I'm in my 50s now, and it turns out there's quite a bit to ponder about someone rising from the dead. And that the mystery itself isn't necessarily one that fills a person with bright and sugary joy, but sometimes more a sense of confusion, alarm, even sadness. Which is why now I'm appreciative that one of the gospel readings the church suggests for Easter morning each and every year is the one from the Gospel of John about the discovery of the empty tomb where no one seems to know anything about what's going on. Mary of Magdala arrived at the tomb in darkness, perhaps a reference to the time of day, but also a reference to her spirit. The Greek word for tomb, nemenon, comes from the same Greek word as memory. So when Mary exclaims, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb," it's almost as if she's saying, "They've taken the Lord from my memory. What has a friend left to hold on to?" This is how lost and confused she feels on Easter morning. There's nothing bright or sugary about it. Peter and the other mysterious beloved disciple race to the tomb at different paces to see what Mary's talking about, with her apparently running back behind them. Why do we need to know who gets there first? What's the point? Scripture scholars have no idea exactly. Jesus is clothing there, arranged in an orderly fashion, but other than a suggestion that whoever snatched him knows how to fold their laundry, what's the point of this? Again, scripture scholars themselves aren't sure. The gospel mentions that the beloved disciple not only saw but believed. But believed what? That Mary was right and Jesus' body was truly missing? Or something more? Scholars yet again don't know. If we were to add one more verse to today's reading, we would hear, "Then the disciples returned home," as if they didn't know what to do with what they just experienced. Except that that isn't quite what the Greek says. It says they returned prosē autos, which can mean a reference to their homes, but literally means to themselves, as in they returned to themselves, they returned inward, they returned pondering. Easter, for the first friends of Jesus, was not a day. It was the beginning of a whole season of pondering and trying to make sense of events that would continue to unfold for weeks, we might even say for lifetimes. And resurrection was just one of the ways that they found to describe what had occurred. Paul, for example, uses the language of Jesus coming to sit at God's right hand, or being glorified, entering into his glory. Elsewhere, John talks about Jesus being exalted or lifted up or going to the Father. What happens to Jesus after death is a complicated matter, and it's not like there was any precedent for it before or that anyone has done it since. And I mention all this not to say that we shouldn't love Easter and eat our fill of jelly beans, but just because many of us enter this feast like Mary of Magdala. We enter in the darkness. We come feeling loss in the face of death, confusion in the face of what to make of the world, and a few tears about what is to come of us. And while at Mass we greet Easter with joy and hope and enjoy watching those oversugared children running between the pews, there's a chance that we also arrive with some ongoing doubt and confusion and fear. And that's okay. Death is as complicated as life, and often more so. Easter morning celebrates the core mystery of our faith, but we don't need to understand it all immediately. We're at the beginning of a whole season, and the invitation of God to each of us is to enter the tomb this day and not feel like we're lacking faith just because we don't have all the answers yet. Such an adventure awaits us in the coming days. In the words of the Welsh poet and clergyman R.S. Thomas, "There have been times when, after long on my knees in a cold chancel, a stone has rolled from my mind, and I have looked in and seen the old questions lie folded and in a place by themselves, like the piled grave clothes of love's risen body." Let us be patient and gentle with ourselves this Easter, as we would be with Mary, Peter, and the beloved disciple, arriving at the tomb in darkness.